Listening Library presents Ariel Crashes a Train. This is the author, Olivia A. Cole. For Oman. I have to. Every time I leave the kitchen, whether I'm going in or out of the house, it's a rule written in blood. This morning, like every morning, I stare down at the collection of kitchen knives in the drawer by the stove. There are 10 of them, one for each finger, short and long, serrated and not, silver, silver, silver. I know them all well. This is the rule. In order to stop myself from driving one of them into my father's chest, I must open the drawers, the silent kind that don't slam, and tap each blade with one finger 6 times for each knife. Tap, 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 tap. I have to concentrate. Each tap measured, firm. On the 3rd knife, the 5th tap is too soft. I start over. 2 more times until I get it right. And all the scales growing inside me soften back into flesh and smooth wet organs. Only then can I go to the front door. Everyone is safe. For now. I'm going to try 1 more time. The bus stop is where I used to think my best thoughts. Maybe because there the world is as noisy as the inside of my head. Clangor and clamor and squeaking brakes, people nodding to music and each other, coming and going. I can wear headphones with no music and no one knows any different. If my head twitches or my neck bends, they all think, music, that girl is into her music. On the bus, I can make myself small, all 5'11 of me balled against the smudged window. I'm part of the scenery. We all are. I haven't tried in 1 week because it already happened once and I wanted to give it time, maybe let it fade. Today it's not rush hour. Today the rush is less rushing. An old woman in her shopping bag, 2 young guys with backpacks, and me. A bus is coming, but it's not ours, and the old woman has old woman eyes so she can't see that it's the 44, not the 14. So she's stepping forward to the curb expectantly, and the bus isn't slowing down. And then it happens. I'm pushing her. My muscles seize, something green and scaly nestled between ropes of my intestine coming awake and thrashing its tail. Screech of the bus, sickening thud of steel against 80-year-old bones, shopping bag catches the wind, sweeps out into the street, a single apple rolls toward the sewer. And at first I'm running away. Then when my lungs shout, walking, 4 blocks away, I finally look back. The 14 is pulling up, and one of the guys with backpacks holds the woman's shopping bag while she climbs slowly on board. The insistent beeping of the bus's kneel ricochets down the block. When the bus catches up to me, the wind from it blowing by throws my hair in a cyclone. 3 miles to go. Other buses will come, but they're not an option anymore. In the pit of my stomach, the crocodile is awake, and by now I know that the only way to keep everyone safe is by making sure the beast has lots of space. Meeting Leah should feel like comfort. A friendship sprouted on a school bus in 4th grade. Both of us small, even me then, with big voices, yelling at a boy who emptied his pencil sharpener down the back of a girl's shirt. Neither of us was afraid to use the word fuck, and when neither of us got in trouble, it felt like we were charmed, that we had charmed each other. Leah's voice has grown and grown, president of the Jewish Student Union, co-chair of the Young Chemist Society. I asked her on Halloween if she'd outgrown me. You can't outgrow what you're made for, she'd said. But it didn't feel like an answer, And lately it feels like even if she's not outgrowing me, then maybe the tree of her is merely growing in another direction, like the peace lily in my mom's office, always arching toward the window. Leah has a boyfriend, Cesar, with a smile like that, like the sun. I don't blame her for leaning into him when lately everything about me is missed. It's June, but Leah wants hot chocolate, and these are the things I love about her. But when I sink down across from her, I almost forget to smile. Across the street, a cat stares at itself in a store window, lashing its tail, suspicious of its own reflection. I feel the same way, and this is why. I don't do it on purpose. But while Leah is stirring her cocoa, the steam rising and curling like exhaust, her mouth moving in the shapes of words, I am imagining, standing up from the table and lifting its edge, sending the hot brown liquid splashing across Leah's bare chest, Leah screaming, Leah trying to get it off, Leah going to the hospital for third-degree burns, me sitting and doing nothing. How hot is hot chocolate? Hot enough to burn? How hot does it have to be to cause third-degree burns? Is there a law for how hot coffee can be? Would I be allowed to help, or would she never speak to me again? Are you listening? My hands are knotted under the table, and my eyes had followed. When they rise, there's Leah's face frowning, but I'm still thinking about her screaming, how she would sound with her skin turning red, then purple. I don't do it on purpose. I'm picturing blisters while she's asking me if I hurt her. I'm wondering if there's a first aid kit in the coffee shop while she's asking me what my problem is. I tell her, I'm fine. Sorry, I got distracted. It's like my brain is a stage magician's hat. And somewhere inside me, a wand is tapped on the rim, and suddenly a white rabbit appears from the dark mouth of the hat, except the rabbit is covered in blood, and it runs in circles around me on stage, and then from the hat leaps a fox, and its teeth are dripping red, and I stare, wondering what it will sound like, the exact moment that the fox's teeth sink into the rabbit's soft throat, and I can't avert my eyes. All of this happening all the time. Unable to look away, my brain both fox and rabbit, and also the hat, and especially the teeth. What are you thinking about? Nothing. What else can I say? This isn't, be careful, you might spill that. This is, oh, I was just thinking about what would happen if I flipped the table and boiling liquid burned your skin, and whether I would help you or just watch. In the last year, I have watched Leah get farther and farther away as I drift deeper down what feels like a tunnel flickering in fluorescent light. I imagine telling her the truth, watching her eyes widen, then shrink, then all of her pulling fully out of reach. I would rather keep my secrets and keep her close. How do I explain the wrongness that sits in the core of me like the rotten pit of a soft-bodied fruit? The wrongness that feels like the seed from which everything grows? How do I look when no one is watching? I study photographs, wondering if the face I see is my real face, or if there are moments when it morphs, where the hidden crocodile is visible and vulgar. What if someone takes a photo of that? Caught on camera, my whole life red-handed. Leah knows all my other secrets, even the ones I don't write poems about. Getting my first period in gymnastics, leaving blood on the beam. Coach walking around checking everyone for cuts. Leah laughing so hard she peed. Both of us washing leotards in her basement that night. Me pretending to like pentatonics for my entire seventh grade year because a girl I had a silent crush on had their post.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?